many people in America fear their government, and the government is being
the person you called is no longer on the line.
I think it's time to people.
You may dial now.
Through their representative government. Tries to feed his cattle and sheep on we the people's land. Try and live as a free man. Your body's an eagle anymore. Time to stop these thugs from stealing what's been got.
Clock of a tyranny. For if we don't, then who will do it for ourselves? And how about our children? What kind of future will we leave them? And if we won't, we'll wake up slaves on the global.
From the poor, don't blink your eyes, he'll sell the store.
Corporations and the Pentagon just cooking up the wars. Congress and the State House say, fuck you to the world, then the old con, then the old con.
Well, Poppy Bush and Baby Bush and the party of God. Guns and O for oil and D for drugs. They gave us 911. Was an inside job.
George Bush in the White House spreading fear across the land, tearing up our Bill of Rights as fast as they can. Oh, terror, such a scam.
Well, Collins at the UN just showing diagrams. Can't you see those weapons just scattered across the land? He's making deals. He's shaking hands. Oh,
on his hands. Wolfie's at the World Bank making new demands. We'll take your oil, you keep the sand.
We got Abu Ghraib in the Middle East, Guantanamo down south. Congress got that Patriot Act just shoved on down at the mouth. They took our Constitution and threw it out.
Bill Carl in the White House, and they say he's Bush's brain. All his corporate buddies and their voting machines. We cast our votes, they wipe them clean.
Neo-Nazis stole the White House, now they're shooting for the world. The torture and police states and preemptive war. The Fourth Reich's here in America.
King George in the White House, just pushing folks around. Cheney's in the backseat, polishing the crown. We're going down, we're going down.
And that is White House Blues, and that's Eric Carlstrom again off his Bluegrass Conspiracy. And next, our next guest is Bill Molina. Are you there, Bill?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And this is KHEN 106.9 Salida, Truth Quest, with Dr. Eric Carlstrom and Melody. And our guest is Bill Molina. And I'm going to grab my quick bio here on you, because you do have an interesting one. And several times I've watched your movie, that, and this is one of the main reasons why we have you on this program, is you've produced a movie called Truth Be Told, which ties right in with the our last guest, Jerome Corsi, on the Trans-Texas Corridor. And it was a great movie. It was well done documentary, and tying in why and what's going to happen to the rest of us if we don't. It looks like Texas might even need a little of our support down there. And you are a filmmaker, and may have taken changed your direction a little bit getting into these documentaries, because most of you, it seems like a lot of your films have been in other directions. You'd like to fill me in a little bit, fill the people in a little bit more on your bio. Go right ahead, William.
Yeah, I'm by profession, I'm a professional filmmaker, and of course, when I came to Texas, I figured I'd kind of settle down a little bit. But then, as it turns out, with all these issues that have been going on down here in Texas, I took it upon myself, not as a filmmaker, but more as a taxpayer and a concerned citizen, as to what direction our government's taking, and just several policies. And in this particular situation was the whole issue on the TTC. So it is a departure from my usual line of work, to go from commercial filmmaking and working on features and commercials and television to doing documentaries that I would consider exposing the truth on what our government's doing to us.
You made kind of a nice crossover in your documentary, too, that, I mean, you can definitely tell that a filmmaker was involved on this project, because you really do some nice photography and tying that in with, what's going on with the people down in Texas with the Trans-Texas Corridor.
Yeah, I mean, when I originally started this project, it started out as kind of a side thing, where I was just going to do a little documenting on the toll road issues that were happening specifically around my community. And at the time, I myself was not even aware of all this, the Trans-Texas Corridor and this whole issue of privatizing our public infrastructure. I just thought, well, it's local toll authority wants to turn our roads into toll roads. And so, I picked up my camera and I just started documenting what was happening in our community. But as I began doing research and starting to look deeper into what was going on, I was just shocked and basically appalled by what was going on. And as I got further into the documentary, I realized that it's like peeling back layers of an onion, even the film that I produced, the documentary Truth Be Told, is I consider it just the tip of a huge iceberg. I mean, when you start really seeing the implications of what this is all about, it is really shocking and appalling. I mean, I personally, I'm hoping that the film will just instigate people to look further and to ask questions of their own local government and their own local community, because I don't think this is just a Texas issue.
No, it's not.
I think this goes far, far beyond Texas. I mean, Texas is just what I consider a Normandy Beach. You know, unfortunately, you know, this is just the gateway of what I, at least my interpretation of what this is all about, is the proposed NAFTA superhighway. And we're not just talking about one corridor or two corridors. We're talking several major corridors that are going to, you know, crisscross the nation.
Another thing you'd mentioned in your bio a little bit was about the fact that when you went to some of these meetings that they were having down in Texas over this corridor, there wasn't anybody else there really covering it for the press. Is that correct?
Correct. When initially the original environmental impact studies took place, there was very, very little press about what was going on. I mean, obviously, the affected communities, specifically the rural communities, barely even knew that this project was happening. And so when I heard about it, I decided, well, I'm going to go and check out some of these meetings myself. And I was just shocked to find that there was 800 to 1,000 people at these meetings and barely any press coverage. I mean, it was kind of like the best-kept secret in Texas. So I took it upon myself, and I felt a duty that if nobody else is going to do this, that I had to at least capture history in the making, because I do think future generations are going to look back and say, how did this happen? You know, how did we allow this to happen? And I'm hoping that my film and the other grassroots groups that are involved hopefully can send a signal out to the rest of the nation and hopefully wake up the sleeping giant before it is too late. I mean, that's you know, I just think people need to, I hate to use the word, but wake up and realize that they're selling our country out faster than we can.
You know, there's several different things when I went through this, and I was glad I looked at it more than once, because, you know, I was finding out I was seeing correlations in this that I hadn't picked up the first time. One of them I found was kind of interesting was some of the dates that were involved on the signing of the contracts and it, you know, it's being Centra, which is a Spanish company that signed these contracts to take over this tollway, being the date that they had the Madrid bombing happened to be the same date of 3/11 as the same date that they signed the initial contract that you brought up in that movie of being 3/11, even though they were two different years.
That's interesting. I've never put the two together.
And there was a couple of other dates that kind of came in there. Well, the reason why I've been following numerology with some of this, not because I follow it, but because I've noticed it has cropped up a lot in some of the events, false flag events that have taken place, and being that Madrid had one of their own, it just kind of clicked, and that number, you know, drew my attention. And when I noticed that when their last contract that they fulfilled was the date of 3/22 on 2007, if I'm correct, I think I have the right year. Okay, that being the number of Skull and Bones, that I just thought was an interesting coincidence. And so, I don't know, it's just something I picked up.
Well, I mean, that's the thing that's interesting and why I presented the film in a way that is pretty just, you know, I didn't want to, I mean, I just wanted to present the historical topic.
Right, right. I just took it to a different level. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I it's something I'm more have been a little bit attuned to following some different numbers like 9/11. But in a sense, 9/11 was like the beginning event of numerous other things that have taken place in our country. And And I just thought it was a little ironic that, you know, Spain went through their own kind of 9/11. And then to have them coming back over here, and then we're giving them essentially carte blanche to the tollway system there in Texas.
Well, correct. I mean, the thing that's troubling is not really the issue of tolling, but more the issue of selling our public infrastructure to foreign interests.
Right.
I mean, basically, they're taking, I mean, one of the most troubling aspects that we're facing in our community and as well as other communities in Texas is that they're taking our existing public right-of-ways and converting them into toll roads. I mean, in the past, you know, people built toll roads from point A to point B if they were brand new roads and used tolls to repay that project. But now what they're doing is literally taking what taxpayers already paid for and are basically converting them to toll roads and in some cases giving them to foreign private corporations for private gain. It's just ridiculous. And when you take it to the next level, which is the Trans-Texas Corridor, they're actually using the power of eminent domain to take people's land away to give to a foreign, so that a foreign private corporation can profit from these huge projects. I mean, it's just, it's unprecedented. I mean,
it kind of leaves you speechless, huh?
Could you tell us how many people have lost their homes in this process?
Well, so far, nobody. I mean, so far, this is what we're trying to do is to do some preemptive strike because basically the Texas Department of Transportation, through the legislation, have passed laws in the several past years to allow this to happen. I mean, basically, right now they're in the process of doing the environmental studies for the Trans-Texas Corridor, which is one of the priority corridors, the TTC 35, and they're starting the hearings on TTC 69 in 2008.
Is 69 through East Texas?
Yes.
Okay.
It goes from all the way from Laredo and McAllen up from the South Texas Valley up through Houston up to
Texarkana,
up to Louisiana.
Okay.
Yeah, and it goes up through Louisiana. And I mean, according to the environmental plans that I've seen, I mean, this thing goes all the way to Michigan. On the basically, they're using I-69 National Corridor.
Uh-huh.
It's usually paralleling and going up on Interstate 69 all the way up to Michigan. And so this is just one of the corridors that's being proposed. There are several others, of course. TTC 35 is the other corridor that runs from Laredo up through San Antonio, Austin, Dallas-Fort Worth area, and up to Oklahoma. Of course, now, TxDOT will tell you, oh, we're just building these huge corridors, but, you know, you can't believe that they're going to build these huge corridors. And what I mean by huge corridors are these massive, highway plans, and they're just going to stop at these borders, whether it be the Louisiana border or the Oklahoma border. But basically, for people out there that don't know what the TTC is, it's basically a 4,000-mile road, rail, and utility network, which encompasses right now, as they have planned, a 1,200-foot-wide footprint, which will require about 584,000 acres of land. I mean, so the state is going to use the power of an eminent domain to take away land from people, from private ranchers who have had their ranches in there for generations. I can understand if someone's doing a project for the state and for the betterment of the state, but it's a whole different story if you're going to take away someone's land just to give to a private foreign corporation so that they can make a killing.
What were you hearing that the tolls were going to run? I was hearing that they were going to be rather steep.
I've heard the whole gamut.
Oh, you have, huh?
I mean, unfortunately, our legislation passed Senate Bill 792, this past legislation of Senate, which basically introduces what's called market valuation, which basically gives these folks basically carte blanche to set whatever rate they feel like setting.
But they also built in some non-compete clauses in there, didn't they?
Correct, and that's the other troubling aspect about all these toll roads. Most of them are to be built under what's called a Comprehensive Development Agreement, or a CDA, and most of them contain non-compete clauses. So basically what they're saying is they don't want anything to compete with these toll roads.
And they actually even give them remuneration if it doesn't come up to the standard of income that they think it should. Am I right?
Exactly. They go as far as penalizing the state if, in fact, they lose revenue. It's just basically a bad deal for the taxpayers, for the people of the state. I mean, it's a great thing for the business folks and for the bond investors and the highway lobbyists and all the people that are going to benefit from this deal. But as far as the taxpayer goes, it's a really raw deal.
I thought I also caught another part in there about loans that they were going to make available to Spain from our government. Did I understand that right too? Did you?
Correct. They're going to. Originally, the governor said this is not going to cost the taxpayer any money. That this is all private money. That's going to be private investors. And of course, you know, the state auditor came back and said just for one corridor, which is the TTC 35, the projected cost right now is $105.6 billion. And that's just the state auditor's cost estimate for only the first segment of the TTC. Already $90 million of taxpayer money has already been spent on this project and doing all these studies and so forth. But then they're actually proposing to these foreign investors. They're saying we're going to go to TIFIA and we're going to get these federally backed loans, so that some money is going to come from every part of government to help support these projects.
So where does the American? I mean, who wins? I don't see where this is anything but a win-win situation for Centra and Zachary. And what does the American public get out of it, or the government, or any of them? I can't believe how they even sold it to the bureaucrats. It doesn't.
Well, that's the problem. Is they snuck in the middle of the night, and this goes back to 2001, when supposedly they passed what they call here in Texas Proposition 15, which was a constitutional amendment creating the Texas Mobility Fund. Which basically authorizes grants and loans of money and issuance of obligations for the construction, reconstruction, and acquisition, operation and expansion of state highways, turnpikes, and then they slipped in the words toll roads, toll bridges, and other mobility projects. Well, they took Proposition 15 and mutated that into basically House Bill 3588 and then House Bill 2702, which basically was a legislative house bill that allows the Transportation Commission to convert existing highways into tolls and to basically allow all this tolling to take place. Now, this all happened during the heat of the legislative session when there was a bunch of redistricting issues going on here in Texas. And so it kind of went under the radar. So all these lobbyists got these laws passed to make it all legal. So now the people barely have any recourse or any redress with their government. To say, wait a minute, and that's what the people of Texas are doing. People are waking up to say, wait a minute, we didn't vote for this, and we didn't approve this, and we want to get to the bottom of this. And unfortunately, unless we stop this freight train, it's going to run over all of us.
Right. They've got those planned all over the country, and they're not even this one. I believe is going from what is the name of that Mexican port, Cartes? I'm not sure the name of it now.
there's several corridors that are being planned. There's one out in West Texas, and I think that's the one you're referring to, Paseo. The name escapes me.
And then it goes up through Winnipeg, Canada, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
But there's a number of them that are going to go across the United States. But these aren't just. There's a reason why they call them corridors, and I'm not up on that definition, but there is a specific reason why they did pick that name, but it will actually split the country in half, and they don't really make much in the way of ways to get across this quarter, am I right?
Well, I mean, the common sense is that if a private investor comes in and builds these roads, they're in it for the profit. So they're not going to, in other words, the problem with this corridor, at least how TTC 35 is laid out, is you got this 1,200-foot wide footprint. Now, I don't know if you can imagine what 1,200 foot, but basically 1,200 feet is the equivalent of 3 to 4 football fields. Or take your largest interstate and multiply it times 4 times. That's how wide a footprint this is. So you're going to be cutting farm roads in half. You're going to be cutting interstates in half. And you're going to tell me that every farm road that exists, at least here in Texas, is not, they're going to build an overpass for these? No. I mean, communities will be cut off at the pass. That means that a farmer, if his ranch gets cut in half, he's going to probably have to travel 30, 40, or 50 miles just to turn around so they can access the other side of his property. It's insane. I mean, and the fact that they're doing this right through the richest farmlands in the state of Texas, and of course, we got to keep in mind, it's not just Texas. This is going to impact rural communities throughout the nation.
Yeah.
It's just absurd about the way they're going about this. And then the problem is the plan, at least as they call it here, the Crossroads of the Americas plan. The plan was done without any substantive discussion or debate, without public comment or input, without conferring with local transportation experts, and without seeking input from local community leaders. And now local community leaders are up in arms saying, wait a minute, folks. You're going to destroy our community here. And as when you take that much land off the tax payrolls, you're just going to destroy these communities that barely can get by now.
How many meetings did you have to go to make this movie?
I personally went to about, I would say, half a dozen.
Half a dozen?
But that's just a small fraction of I believe they had several more throughout the state. And I particularly just covered the San Antonio area because that's the area that I was involved with.
Mm-hmm.
But I know from speaking with folks across the state, I mean, that's the thing that I personally awoke to. I couldn't believe that this is going on in this country. You know, we're supposed to be a democracy, the land of the people, and yet this is going on, you know, that our government is basically, you know, doing this so that they can take land away to give to a foreign corporation. I mean, I think the nation should be outraged, should be demanding accountability from their legislators and from the senators, and yet people are keeping this quite quiet.
You mentioned a Crossroads of America plan. Could you explain what that is and who came up with that?
Well, basically, at the Governor Perry, who's the governor of the state of Texas, direction, TxDOT drafted a plan to build the Trans-Texas Corridor. Then the Transportation Commission promptly adapted the plan in June of 2002. Now, the Crossroads of the Americas plan is basically the priority corridors, and I've been doing a little research because I was looking into the CTC 69 corridor now. Basically, this goes all the way up to the federal government. This is not just like a state issue. They've been studying what's called priority corridors of what they think is should be the expansion of supposedly our interstate system. Now, I don't want to be the blind misleading the blind, because I myself am trying to get caught up on what exactly the national implications are, but that's how big this thing goes. As I mentioned, this started out as I thought it was a local toll road issue, yet it's the other way around. This is being mandated by the United States Department of Transportation. If you go to their website, you can actually see a section where they're promoting all this stuff. They're actually showing states and legislations how to proceed in privatizing their infrastructure.
Let me ask you this, Bill. The corridor here is going to be for trucks, for cars, for freight. Would it also have a importance for the distribution of things like food and water and other essential
utilities?
Utilities,
yes, definitely
energy.
The utility line, huge water pipelines and oil pipelines and stuff like that. And that's the other thing that is being brought into question is we're building this huge corridor where we have our entire transportation system, our utility, our telecommunications, all in one corridor. And even though it's a large corridor in itself, it's a very small, what I consider a terrorist target. I mean, you put everything in one place, and all you need is for one of them to go awry. I mean, just think of a train derailment, and that basically throws everything else into chaos.
Would the Spanish corporation be building all of these pipelines, water, oil, gas, telecommunications, et cetera?
Well, that's I don't know if they're going to personally, but they're going to be the concessionaire. In other words, they're basically going to be, that's the thing about the TTC also. Most people associate our interstate system where you can build frontage roads or have easy on and off access so that communities can thrive off these interstates. Well, the TTC is self-enclosed, basically meaning that all the hotels and gas stations and any commerce will be operated and run by this concessionaire. Whoever owns the concession will basically dictate the terms of what access and what will be built along these roads.
So they're gonna actually dictate what kind of businesses and that sort can be located anywhere to benefit by this corridor.
Correct. Uh-huh. Correct. So basically, as you said earlier, it's a win-win situation for those that own the concession and anybody that's involved in the ownership of these roads. But for the rest of us, you know, for the communities that are going to be impacted and affected, it's just going to be a lose-lose situation.
Are there any major companies related to that are involved in this that are related to any of our politicians?
They sure are, and it's pretty distressing when you start looking who's involved. I mean, recently it's been discovered that, for instance, Giuliani's law firm is involved with the TTC. And so you start looking at the big players. I mean, there's obviously huge money at stake, and there's huge politics at stake here. So, I mean, that's the thing that as you start connecting the dots, you start going, you come to the realization this is bigger than, you know, people got upset because they were going to sell the Dubai ports. I mean, here we're selling our public infrastructure, and yet a lot of these states are doing it state by state. I mean, like states like Indiana, Cintra has already bought sections of their toll road section. Chicago Skyway's already been sold to Cintra. Now that Cintra's trying to take over the Texas toll system, you know, it's happening in Florida, it's happening in Pennsylvania, the sections of California. So it's not just the Texas issue. This is just the granddaddy of them all because of the size of this project. But I would encourage people, if they really want to learn more about the corridor itself, there's a great website, corridorwatch.org. It's an organization that's been following all these issues pretty closely. And there's another organization, texasturf.org, and satollparty.com and texastollparty.com. Our grassroots groups that have been fighting these issues and they've laid out a lot of these issues that you bring up and the controversies surrounding these projects.
Another thing that I noticed by the time you got to the end of your film, it appeared that they were going to have a moratorium on the corridor. But I was a little bit, it didn't appear like that's what really happened. Can you explain?
Yeah, that was the shock because the people stood up and and basically we made our legislators hear the loud roar of the people that we did not want these projects. And there was actually a House bill introduced in 1892, which actually had legislation in it that would have put a moratorium and put a stop to these private toll roads. But as the film illustrates, unfortunately, our governor vetoed that bill, and as a consequence, there was a compromise bill in its place, which was Senate Bill 792, which basically exempted every toll road current toll project underway, and basically opened the door for market valuation. So the thing that was very disturbing is the people and the legislators finally woke up to the reality that this is something that people don't want, but yet we have a governor with a single veto pen was able to negate what the people want. And so what has ended up happening is we've basically allowed this rogue agency, which is the Texas Department of Transportation, to continue on its war path to privatize and toll as many roads as they can get their hands on.
I'm still trying to envision what this brave new world might look like, Bill. Would you envision, based on your understanding, that our other highway systems would remain intact if this thing were to occur, that our other telecommunications systems would remain intact, or would this somehow replace the systems that we have now?
Well, just to give you an example, what's really scary is that Texas Department of Transportation was actually lobbying Congress this past year to buy back all our interstate systems. Those were interstate systems built back in the 50s as part of Eisenhower's plan to keep our country free for military operations to move, you know, people and military equipment across the country. And yet our own Texas Department of Transportation is out there lobbying Congress so they can buy back these roads, because there's apparently a law on the books that says you can't toll existing interstates. But yet that's exactly what these departments of transportation are doing. They're trying to circumvent these laws so that they can, in fact, convert our interstate systems into privatized toll roads. You know, and whether it goes to a private company or whether it goes to a public tolling authority, which is the latest other issue, is that they've created these unelected bureaucracies that call themselves public tolling authorities, but it's nothing short of another bureaucracy being given control of what I believe should be belong to the people. I mean, I believe in certain functions of the government that why we as taxpayers create, tolls. Admittedly, are not free. We pay for these interstates and all these roads through motor fuel taxes. We pay for those roads through taxation. And now what they're going to do is going to do a double taxation without representation. They're going to take what we've already paid for, what we are currently paying for in taxes, and then they're going to sell it off to private companies for private gain, and then charge us a toll to use that same road.
Another point you brought out in the film that are one of the participants in the film brought up is that they found that the state of Texas didn't need this toll road, that they actually could sustain them their current roads, and that they would meet the needs of the people quite well with their current system of bringing in money to support these highways. Is that correct?
Well, that's correct. I mean, the Texas Transportation Institute, which is the largest university-affiliated research, came out with a study that really basically says we don't need to toll any of our roads. But obviously other people try to negate that. I mean, TxDOT comes out and is right now creating a crisis by saying that they're so out of money, that TxDOT's funding is in a funding crisis and has run out of money, but yet their annual budget has doubled in the last few years without any tax increases. And we ended up, the state this last year ended with a budget surplus of $8.5 billion. But yet the department is out there clamoring, saying, we are so broke that there's no way that we can maintain and do any more roads without tolling our roads. That's the only solution to our transportation woes, is if we toll every road.
So what the Department of Transportation says and what in actuality are two different things. It also was apparent that they did a lot of dirty tricks to the politically for those that were trying to get information, let alone get anywhere on trying to stop it. And then they were also misappropriating funds, correct?
Correct. I mean, basically, long-winded story about that. But basically, the state auditor, I mean, basically, TxDOT has reported that there's an $86 billion funding gap between transportation needs and the available transportation funding. But however, the state audit report finds that there was an $8.6 billion error and another $37 billion in undocumented costs. So, you know, that's a big number to miss by. I mean, $45 billion. But yet the department goes around saying, oh, we're so out of money, and the only way we're going to get out of this crisis is by tolling our roads. But yet, every study that comes out or the state auditor comes out showing that they've cooked the books or misappropriated the monies. I mean, just in the past 20 years, $8.7 billion of money that was dedicated specifically for road maintenance and improvements went to non-transportation funds. Basically, you know, even the money that's supposed to go towards roads is not.
Sounds a little bit like the identical situation on a smaller scale as our national Social Security, where most of the studies show that the system is solvent, yet the government has been using that money for other things, and the government is now claiming that it's insolvent, so they're going to have to privatize our Social Security. It's a shell game and smoke and mirrors with these guys.
Exactly, and that's what's happening with our public infrastructure. They're all of a sudden saying, we are so out of money that this is the only solution. And it's just, there's no accountability. It's got to stop somewhere. You know, if we don't have the money, then we don't build the roads. That's how simple it is, you know. But yet, you know, we keep, like these other issues that we're facing in government today is we're just putting debt on debt on debt, you know, and basically straddling our future generations into a situation of no return. I mean, that's what we're doing, is this is what our generation is going to hand the next generation. Because these contracts, these comprehensive development agreements, are these contracts that are going to last 50 to 70 years. So for the next 50 years, there will be no competition or road improvements on any parallel free roads that may intersect or join or run parallel to any of these toll roads.
So who do you ultimately think is the behind all of this then? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to be giving it to a foreign government unless there's some kind of international body involved in it, do you think? Or what is your idea behind that?
Well, I mean, obviously everybody keeps referring to this as a NAFTA superhighway, and part of, you know, this goes beyond, you know, the ultimate goal is not simply a superhighway, but an integrated North American Union. And as Ron Paul has said, the real issue is national sovereignty. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I mean, why would you want to build these huge trade corridors between Mexico and Canada? You know, on one end, we're talking about immigration reform and close the borders, and on the other hand, we can't wait to build these superhighways where traffic from Mexico can come unabated, you know, erase the borders, and the next checkpoint is Kansas City. You know, they've already had the Port of Authority in Kansas City. So now you're going to bring all these shipping containers from China through Mexico on Mexican trucks through the U.S. highways, and that's basically my take on the issue, is you have these you know, business people that all see these trade routes, and you know, we're going to get a piece of that pie. We're going to control the flow of trade here, and we're going to put a price tag on it.
And the part that kind of I have to shake my head over is, okay, so you're bringing in all these shipping crates and the like, yet you're bringing the middle class down to third world status. Who's going to be buying this stuff?
It's mind-boggling. It's just it really is. I mean, and that's kind of when I got involved with this film project. I was just like, it's you know, where does it stop? And once you start connecting the dots, you say this is not just a highway. It's part of a bigger plan. And that's the thing that's shocking is that, you know, the United States Department of Transportation has announced plans to unleash private sector investment resources by including tolling and public-private partnerships in its national strategy to supposedly reduce congestion. And that's the other thing. They're saying that toll roads are going to solve our congestion problems, that toll roads are the silver bullet solution to all the congestion problems in America. Well, we know that's not true, because the only way toll roads work is if there's congestion on the free roads. You know, nobody's going to get up and pay a toll if I have a free alternative that works.
Unless they have all the roads toll. Is that what they have in mind?
And that's what they're doing. You know, as you know, here in San Antonio, they're proposing on tolling every single existing public right-of-way. That's their goal. And it's like, it's not one road. It's not building a new road. Because personally, I don't object to toll roads. I mean, if you build a new road, a new route, you know, and you want to pay for it, then that's fine. But don't take what already belongs to the people and slap a toll on it and say, well, guess what? We sold your investment to a private company for private gain. And basically what you're going to end up doing is taxing people from work. And that's the other thing is our dependency on oil is, as we know, is gas prices continue to escalate. And we need to start thinking of other transportation solutions for the future and wean ourselves off this dependency. But if you're going to build these mega toll roads from concrete, from toll road, you know, we're talking about 20-lane toll roads now. On a here in San Antonio, they're talking about building a 20-lane toll road on a what's considered the most ecologically sensitive aquifer in the state of Texas. They're going to slap this huge monstrosity of a road, and yet no other transportation solutions are being discussed. You know, mass transportation and other needs that we need. We're living off, you know, just feeding into this what I consider these oil barons. You know, and so
it seems like what the powers that be are proposing here is to implement a plan which will be totally dysfunctional. If oil is $100 or $200 a barrel, and people can't afford to buy gasoline, and people can't afford to pay the toll, and if the world is at peak oil, which many people think it is, these roads are going to be empty, aren't they?
Exactly. The system will collapse, and guess who picks up the tab? The taxpayer.
Yeah, and that's why they built those guarantees in the contract for the...
Exactly, mm-hmm. Non-compete clauses.
So the system will collapse and we'll pay for it. Is that the plan?
Yeah, I mean, that's ultimately, it's a win-win situation. We get our money up front or we get our money some way. But that's the thing, when you're providing, and this goes to the heart of what you said earlier, whether it's our health plan or any other of these plans, when you privatize something, you know, you got to respond to Wall Street. You know, it's all about getting a return on your investment, not about solving transportation issues. Mm-hmm. Bottom line is we got to make our money back and then some. And the only way we're going to do that is by cutting costs or doing whatever we need to do, raise toll rates or whatever. We need to make that bottom line. It's no longer about providing a service that is adequate for the people. And so, you know, it's just we're just opening a Pandora's box that I think is guaranteed to fail at some point, because I don't know how you can sustain this kind of, you know, taxation.
Right.
And, you know, and the problem is it's all unaccountable. It's like, so now you're going to give these unelected bureaucracies and these private corporations with contracts for 50, 70 years with non-compete clauses the key to these roads, and if we don't like it, well, too bad. And if the day of tomorrow gas prices get so expensive that we decide, well, maybe we should put in light rail and maybe we should think of mass transportation, well, guess what? You have a contract and nothing. And that includes mass transportation can compete against these roads.
And there's no plan in there for mass transportation. Is that correct?
No.
Yeah. That's what's utterly amazing on these.
It's utterly amazing and utterly insane. Given the ecological realities that we face as a country, the limits to our consumption of resources.
I mean, we haven't even discussed the environmental impacts of such projects. I mean, the environmental destruction that these projects bring is I mean, we can spend another 4 hours discussing the environmental issues.
I'd love to.
I mean, bottom line, this is just a bad idea all the way around. I mean, it's an environmental disaster in the making. I mean, just to give you an idea, PTC 35 contains more than 2,400 square miles of prime farmland, 13 square miles of parks, and 63 landfills. I mean, we haven't even talked about the people issue. You know, we're talking about over a million residents. You asked about how many homes have been taken away. I mean, you're talking about displacing over a million people. And half of them are minorities or almost a quarter below the poverty level, and that, you know, it's just unimaginable scale that this is going to have, not only on the state but as a country as a whole. Go ahead.
These don't even service the populated areas either. Is that it? Kind of skirts all around them. Am I correct?
Correct. I mean you have the Transportation Commissioner getting before legislation and admitting that the TTC will do very little to relieve congestion in urban centers. You know, they're selling this as, oh, it's going to help congestion. Well, the way TTC 35 is designed is 40 miles out of town, so that means that you got to take the congested highways or the toll roads from point A to point B just to get to the TTC, and then you got to pay another toll to drive on it, and then you have to take another 40 miles to go get back in town. I mean, the way this thing is designed really has nothing to do with alleviating congestion. I mean, basically, it's designed it's a trade route, you know, and if you even read the purpose and the scope of the goals and objectives of what the Trans-Texas Corridor, I mean, it says it in their own documents. It says to facilitate international, interstate, and intrastate trade, and it's to improve border crossing and traffic flow. You know, so let's not fool ourselves what this thing is. It's, you know.
Sounds like most of us are going to be walking or riding bicycles by this point if this occurs.
It's going to be a long bike ride.
Well, I'll put it to the local level, because the TTC is, you know, a huge project. But the local level, I mean, people commute to and from work. And as we know, we're all just trying to make a living and pay our bills. And now you're going to tell us that you're going to have to pay $6 each way to go to work and come home. That means that the average Texas family is going to have to cough up anywhere between $2,000 and $4,000 a year just to go to and from work. That's going to be your extra tax for driving to work.
Plus whatever the price of gas is by that time, which could be, you know, double what it is now or higher.
Well, exactly. So if you're paying $6 a gallon of gas, you think you're going to get on a toll rate and pay another $3 or $4 to go down the road?
So we're going to
People are going to say, I can't afford that.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's just ridiculous. I mean, and that's the reason I made this film is like, look, I'm not making this up. It ain't fantasy. It's reality, and it's happening, and it's unfolding here in Texas, And I'm hoping people will take a look at the film and see that it, in fact, is a reality. And it, and unless we as a people, we as a nation, stand up and say enough is enough, these corporate folks are just going to run us into the ground.
So how do we get a hold of this movie? And so how do we get a hold of it?
Well, you can go to the website, Truth Be Told, TOLLED.com. There's a link at the top of the page that obviously it gives you a synopsis and you can view some trailers of the film. And there's a area where it says DVD, and you can click there and order a DVD.
Okay, and is that your only way of distributing the film, or?
At this time, there's other outlets and other organizations that also sell the film, but the easiest way at this time is just to go to the website, truthbetold.com.
Oh, okay, so I mean it's well worth seeing, like I said, and it'd be a good tool for showing people in other states of what's ahead for them.
Well, yeah, I encourage people to share, in other words, have house parties to show to their friends, to just say, look, folks, this is what's going on in Texas, and it's not unreasonable that it's going to be happening in our community, in our state. And I can't encourage people more to go to these other websites I mentioned, like CorridorWatch.org and TexasTurf.org, SATollParty.com, and TexasTollParty.com, because these are the folks that are in the trenches. I made the film around these folks, these grassroots people, you know, people that are passionate about what's going on and trying to help educate the community, because that's what we need to do, is just educate people and let them know what's going on and let them get informed and caught up and deal it with at their level. Because, I mean, there's just so much information, and as you saw from the film, it's just how do you cover so many issues in such little time. I hope the film has enough comprehensive discussion as to what this whole project's about, that people at least grasp the basics.
Have you seen, Bill, any maps of the nation or of North America that kind of show the proposed plan and roots of these TCCs?
Well, obviously the film specifically deals with Texas at this moment, because that's what I did my research based on is Texas. But as you look into the newer projects like TTC 69, I mean, I've come across maps that actually show the proposed paths, but of course everything is considered a draft, you know, proposal, that it's not really happening. But when you see the extent of which our legislation has gone to allow this to happen, and the planning that has gone into, and the thing that's very difficult right now that we are dealing with here in Texas is a lot of these documents that we're requesting for these toll plans are secret and confidential. I mean, to the TTC 69 plan, the master development plan, it wasn't made public until there was a lawsuit filed to make this information public. So a lot of this has been kept confidential and secret, and it's not until recently that the department is being forced to provide some of this documentation. But if anybody really wants to go and see firsthand some of these plans, I would, you know, you could go to TxDOT's KeepTexasMoving.com website and access their information. Obviously, they're going to present it in a very positive light, but documentation and on the proposed TTCs are supposed to be posted on their website.
Well, Bill, I really appreciate you spending time with us and to explain what's in store for the rest of us if we don't start getting active in our own communities to start paying attention to see if they where these routes for the NAFTA highways are going to go, and these corridor routes, and I really appreciate you going to the trouble to make such a nice film and get that kind of information out to the public. Is there anything else you'd like to say in closing? Or?
No, I just appreciate you giving me the time to talk, and I hope folks that are interested in the subject matter will definitely take action and get involved and, you know, make sure to contact their legislators and let them know that, you know, we don't want this, you know, and to take whatever and help educate. I mean, I think getting the word out and spreading the word that this is going on is just to wake up the country to say, if we really care about our future generations, we need to take action.
Well, and I'm glad there's people out there like you that have gone to that much effort to do so. And if all of us would just do some effort, I would imagine there wouldn't have to be such a major effort on people's part.
Well, that's the thing is that a little bit goes a far way, and if everybody just did a little bit, I think. That's the thing is we as a people have the strength in numbers. And the question is just getting the numbers to stand up and say, wait a minute, this is the wrong direction we're taking. And this is not just about this particular issue, but obviously we're facing some very interesting economic times and transitions in our government that we need to really, you know, step up to the plate and get involved.
Well, again, Bill Molina, and the movie is Truth Be Told, and the website is truthbetold.com, correct?
Correct, and okay. Told being T-O-L-L-E-D.
Okay, well, thank you very much,
Bill. Thanks very much, Bill.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Good night.
Goodbye.